Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
But right now we've got a lot of questions for our friend Joe DeGeneva, who is a former U.S. attorney and offers a lot of good insight on all the legal questions that we have on any given week. And there are many. Yeah. And Joe, it starts this morning with the one with yesterday, an appeals court once again stopping President Trump's travel ban. What was your immediate reaction to that, including the fact that they decided to include President Trump's campaign statements as the rationale for why this couldn't go forward?
Well, this is more of the same from liberal United States Court of Appeals justices. The Fourth Circuit used to be conservative. It's now liberal because President Obama packed it near the end of his term after Harry Reid changed the filibuster rule in 2013 to allow no filibuster for federal trial and appellate judges. This is exactly the same ruling as the Ninth Circuit. It ignores the literal language of the statute, the immigration statute, which permits a president to bar the admission of anybody from any country at any time for virtually no reason except foreign policy and national security, which the president invoked in this situation. The fact that they are reaching back into his campaign is actually a violation of Supreme Court decisions, which say that such statements are not usable to establish the intent. Someone is out of office, not a person in the government, at the time they make statements like that. That all changes when they're sworn in. And on Inauguration Day, the president, in essence, became a new person. And you're not permitted to look at that stuff. They are claiming, once again, that this is a violation of religious freedom, a violation of the First Amendment, and all sorts of other things. The bottom line is, it is wrong, and when it gets to the Supreme Court, all of these cases, including the Ninth Circuit and the Fourth Circuit, are going to be reversed. The law is very established in this area. The president is preeminent at the border when deciding who comes into this country, and Congress has given the president direct authority through legislation to do that. These are the same seven and now six countries that President Obama asked Congress to name in legislation as countries of concern. So when all is said and done, this is liberal peak in the form of very, very badly written judicial decisions.
Now, Joe, of course, we could debate the merits of the travel ban. I know a lot of folks in the Northern Virginia area have opinions on that. But when it comes to just the legal merits, just talking about the legal court case itself, not the merits of the travel ban, which would have already expired by now, by the way. When it comes to presidential authority, I mean, what does it say when a court opinion talks more about a campaign rhetoric versus the actual law and the Constitution?
Well, it's very bad judicial writing. When it gets to the Supreme Court, they are going to be reamed. Both the Ninth Circuit and the Fourth Circuit have engaged in the worst sort of politicking from the bench. It's really quite an embarrassment. I commend to everyone the dissent of five judges in the Ninth Circuit, which was published after the Ninth Circuit published its outrageous opinion. There's a brilliant decision written by Judge Bybee analyzing all of the law and the cases and the statutes that the courts have ignored in coming to these conclusions. So the answer, once again, is it what a candidate says during an election has nothing to do with what they do when they take office.
Now, you've talked at length about leaks, and we've had that conversation a bunch. And leaks are back in the news this week, and the press finally taking them seriously because they involve the UK. And the UK reprimanding the United States for apparent intelligence sharing and leaking of information related to the Manchester bombing. Clearly, when members of the intelligence community leak anything from any country, it does place national security at risk. What's been your reaction this week to this newest round of leak stories?
Well, it underscores the importance of impaneling a grand jury and investigating all of the leaks. It is quite obvious that there are people in the intelligence community, at what level, we do not know, who are interested in undermining the government of the United States and also particularly this president. It seems to me that the Justice Department is long overdue for establishing a grand jury and deciding if they can find out who did this. In addition, I'm all for treating the press just the way the Obama administration treated James Rosen. If it was okay to do it then, it's okay to do it now. I think they should subpoena phone records from the Washington Post and the New York Times, all of which are perfectly proper things to do. I think that when all is said and done, they can find out who did this. And I'll tell you what else happens when you have a grand jury and people start getting subpoenas and have to hire lawyers. People who didn't do anything wrong and are mad about having to do that start coming forward and saying, guess what, I think I know who leaked it. You can shake, because this is what we call shaking the trees. You put out information, you get people to come forward. We are long overdue for a federal grand jury, and I hope the department is well on its way to establishing one.
Do you think the Obama administration was right in the way it treated James Rosen?
Absolutely not. Not the way they treated him and his family. But the bottom line is this. What they did by calling him a co-conspirator was absolutely outrageous. All I'm talking about doing is subpoenaing phone records.
Okay. Real quick, we only got like 20 seconds. Jared Kushner under focus now by this Russia probe. What do you make of that?
That's nonsense. Jared Kushner, remember, these meetings with the Russians, the banker and the ambassador, were in December. That's during the transition. Donald Trump had been elected president. The transition, by the way, is a legal organization of the United States government. It's funded by the U.S. government. These people are partial federal employees. He had every right in the world to meet with these people during transition. I think this investigation by the Bureau is a sick carryover from James Comey, who was a very strange person, eccentric might be a polite way to describe him. I think that pushing this forward by the Bureau is absolutely outrageous, and I think the president has every right in the world to be angry about it, and he should have fired Comey inauguration day.
Too bad he waited too long. Thank you very much. As usual, Joe DeGenova coming in hot for us, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.